So the video shared a little bit about with you about the island of Mindanao. I just want to share a few more thoughts. Just kind of start with how the Lord led us to the island of Mindanao. So growing up, I always said I was going to be a youth pastor. Main reason I said I was going to be a youth pastor is because I was weird. I would do whatever skit. I would wear whatever costume. That part really hasn't changed. I still will do all of that. When I went off to, it was kind of just the thought was always, people always said I'd make a good youth pastor, but really past that, I had no idea what God had for my life. And so I went off to college, and I quickly realized that I didn't have the relationship with God that I should. I grew up serving and doing all these things. My dad was an assistant pastor my whole life, but really past that, it wasn't to the fault of my parents or anything like that. I hadn't personally made it, a relationship with God myself. I hadn't personally gotten to know him. I had read my Bible at times and I had tried to, but I really didn't have that personal relationship with God. He was more what I had grown up serving, and I didn't have anything against that. I enjoyed it, but I was serving out of myself rather than serving because of what God had done for me. Through a lot of circumstances, it kind of really became evident that I didn't have that relationship with God that I should, everything happening. And then, the pastor at the time was, every Wednesday night was going through a sermon series, and he kept saying the same phrase, and that was service without relationship. And every Wednesday night when he said that, I knew that's exactly where I was. And it convicted me every Wednesday night. And then, the Lord worked it out. I ended up interning there that summer. So through the summer, it kept going through that series, and I kept hearing service without relationship. And during that time, I started to really form a relationship with God, and that started to fuel my service. Rather than just serving because it was what I was supposed to do or serving to, again, lift my name up, it was now serving because of what God desired me to and what God desired from me. And just seeking him and getting to know him each day. And during that same summer is when I met a missionary kid that grew up on the island of Mindanao. His name was Stephen Trimble, and he grew up as a missionary kid there and now is going back as a missionary. And so that really, just hearing one statistic from him, and that was there's over 6 million Muslim or Islamic people on the island of Mindanao. And that just kind of caught me off guard. I didn't expect there to be that many Muslim or Islamic people there. And so from there, it just burdened my heart. And through just continuing seeking God and my relationship with God, God made it very clear. It wasn't like it was hidden from me as far as what God wanted me to do. It wasn't like I had to try to find it somewhere. I just had to seek him and spend time with him. And over time, he ended up making it very clear that he wanted me to be a missionary. And so during my junior year of college, there was a special missions emphasis day. And that day I surrendered to whatever God had. And I believed it was to be a missionary. And so I called my dad the next day and said, "Hey, Dad, God wants me to be a missionary." Me and my dad have a very blunt relationship. He just tells me like it is, mainly because I needed that. I did a lot of dumb things growing up, and so he needed to be blunt with me because I did a lot of dumb things. And so it was kind of funny as I called him and said, "Hey, Dad, God wants me to be a missionary." His response was, "Finally, you dummy." And it was kind of funny, and it made me laugh a little bit, but at the same time, some people are like, "Well, that's kind of rude," but it was also kind of cool seeing how God was working in my dad's heart about it. But it wasn't my dad's job to tell me. It was my job through my relationship with God, and God made it very clear. And so then I ended up calling me and my wife. The way I knew her is she was a missionary kid in Cambodia, but they were sent out of my home church. So every time they were back in first grade, seventh grade, and 11th grade, that's when I got to know her. I followed her around as much as I could until she liked me back. And so we were actually went to two separate Bible colleges. And so we were doing 4 years of long distance dating. And so I ended up I called her when I believe God called me to missions, and I said, "Hey, this is what God wants me to do." And she was like, "Okay." And her whole side of the conversation, that's pretty much all she said. It was just okay. And we get done with the phone call, and she thought she had told me, "Hey, let's take a week and pray about it." Only problem is she forgot to tell me that part. And so I called her and I texted her through the whole next week, and she didn't answer at all. And my thought was, I guess single missionary it is. I'm going by myself. But it was amazing how God worked it out. It was their missions conference at the time that week. And so she ended up calling me at the end of that week and saying, saying I'm willing to go wherever God wants us to go and do whatever God wants us to do. And it was exciting for me. Obviously, I'm excited. I don't have to go by myself. It'd be dangerous if I was going by myself. I definitely need her. And so, just from there, God continued to guide us, and kept burdening us about the island of Mindanao and specifically the Muslim people there. And so, we ended up getting to take our survey trip, and God just really gave us some amazing things from that. when we were going to take our survey trip, I had sent my wife's passport at the beginning of the year to get it changed, or to get it changed, the last name changed, our current last name. And I was thinking, no problem. I had sent it in about 3 months, and we really didn't know when we were going to get to go. But then it came up, and I'm like, oh, her passport should be back any day. We just booked the flights. We should be fine. We ended up getting her passport back about 2 weeks before we left. And then I started to read over it and quickly realized it was misspelled. In that moment, I got scared. I'm like, Kalina is not going to get us through anywhere. Our last name's Cowling, not Kalina. I just was nervous. And so I tried to figure it out every way I could. But long story short, I ended up just putting it in God's hands and saying, if this is what you want us to do, God, it's something you're going to have to make happen. And we actually got her passport back the morning we left for the Philippines. It made me sweat. It made me afraid, but it ultimately grew my faith in who my God is and what he wants us to do. And just then he answered many other prayer requests along the way. We're praying that God would give us someone to work under when we get there. The missionary that we're going to be working under, we didn't know him before our survey trip. My dad had briefly met him once, didn't know much about him. After spending a few minutes with him, he started to ask me some questions and quickly realized that he was at the same church as my great-grandparents for several years, knew them super well, spent a lot of time with them. It was truly amazing that God's given us someone to work under when we get to the Philippines that knew my great-grandparents all the way on the other side of the world. It's amazing. It's exciting. Something only God could do. And so we've been on deputation about 13 months. We're praying that we'd be there in July of this year. And so I mentioned a little more of the Muslim people. Ultimately, I just want to share this quick thought, and I'll kind of share it with that. If we can go ahead, I'll just read Acts chapter 12, verse 5. It says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So ultimately in this passage is a really cool story. It's one of my favorite. It was an impossible situation. The church had been going through a lot. There's a lot of persecution they had been facing because King Herod didn't like this Christianity that was growing, this people that were serving someone and worshiping someone besides him. They were following after something far greater than he could ever be. And he starts persecuting them. And in this chapter, he's attacking those in charge, those in leadership in the church. He kills James, and he's someone who's taught them. And then he captures Peter. And I imagine as a Christian being scared. And then we see that despite many believers were no longer following after God, they were no longer where they should be. God's own people, most of them were against him at this point. They were happy when James was killed. And they come to this point and it says they gathered together and they prayed without ceasing. And it's an amazing thought because they gathered together and they poured their hearts. Just a simple definition for that is stretching forth all that you have unto God. Because you know what? They could have stretched forth all they had physically to get Peter out of jail, and it was never going to happen. If you look at later, look at the circumstances Peter was in, it was impossible. He was in the highest security prison you could think of at the time. There was no way he was getting out except for God. And just a quick reminder, we serve the God of the impossible. And I think sometimes I know I forget to pray like that because we say our God, nothing is impossible with God. For with God, all things are possible. But do we truly pray like that with any circumstance and anything that comes in our life? And so these people did. They gathered together and they prayed and they end up getting to see Peter miraculously brought out of jail. So much so when he comes to where they're gathered together praying, they don't believe it. And we see kind of a, you'd say, well, did they truly have the faith they should have? I don't know. But ultimately, I believe they had faith. They prayed the way they should have. They prayed to God, but it wasn't their amazing faith that got Peter out of jail. It was their amazing God. It was the power of God. And all they did was stretch forth the little faith they had and sought God in an impossible situation and got to see his power upon it. Got to see something no one else could do happen except for their God. And this one's big just on my heart is because we're going to the island of Mindanao to work with Muslim peoples. And when I think about it, I'm like, there's no way I can reach Muslims. There's no way I can change their lives. There's no way I can see a church form for that. There's no way I can see them go into areas I can't make it to try to reach the other Muslim people. And I'd be right, there's no way I can. But I serve the God of the impossible.
That's right.
And we all do. That's why we're here tonight, is to further his kingdom throughout all the world.
Amen.
But it starts with his power.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what I can do. It doesn't matter the abilities I have. They're nothing compared to what my God can do. And he desires to use my prayers and your prayers. So maybe there's someone that you would say, you know what, there's no way they could ever be reached. Maybe a coworker you've witnessed to thousands of times. Maybe that neighbor that you've tried to reach. Maybe that son or daughter that used to be in church and is no longer where they should be. Whatever the case may be, my God is the God of the impossible and he wants to see them reached. Maybe there's a missionary in a country, you say, it's just the situations they're in and the things they're facing, there's no way. My God is the God of the impossible. And he has the power to do so, but he desires to use your prayers. That simple fact should amaze us that God wants to hear my prayers. I know what I've done. I know the things I've done. I know what's in my heart, and I am undeserving of God hearing my prayers. Yet he does, and he answers them. And you can have amazing testimonies. You can see God do amazing things, and you can see him do the impossible, but it starts with your prayers because it's unlocking his power that is far greater than anything I could ever accomplish or ever do. And wherever you are, whether in this city or whether all the way across the world, it's the same God that's going to save people. It's the same God that desires for all the world to be reached. And we might think of that fact and say, there's no way. But just remember who your God is. Remember who's the, in simple terms, the biggest. Who's the strongest. Who's the one that knows everything that's ever happened and everything that ever will happen. The one who created the whole entire universe. If we pray like the God we claim him to be, we pray like he's that God, anything's possible. And ultimately, he wants to see the whole entire reached with the gospel. And he wants to start with you. And it starts with that prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I pray that you just remind us that you are the God of the impossible. I pray that you just be with this church. I pray that you would just give us many people in this church praying for us. Because, Lord, you know we need it. We can't accomplish the things you desire us to do, but you can, and you desire just to simply use us as vessels. I pray you just continue to use this church in missions and to see many missionaries supported and sent from this church in your name.